Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? It's I, Van Lathan.
It's me, Rachel Lindsay.
It's time for Higher Learning. Rachel.
Van.
How was your weekend?
I did nothing.
You didn't do anything?
I mean, nothing. The numbers in LA have me very terrified for myself and for other people. So I was productive. Mm-hmm. I worked on a project. I worked out. I meal prepped. Never in my life have I meal prepped. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I cooked. I bought the little containers to put it all together. It was great. So yeah, I just took care of business, watched football.
What did you meal prep? What was the meal?
So I can eat the same thing every day for those who will call my meal boring.
Me too.
So it just for lunch, because we don't have a healthy lunch at work. Uh-huh. So I have oven baked drumsticks,
okay,
a handful of rice and broccoli. Sweet. And I just every day.
Every day. Every
yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
I would meal prep salmon and Brussels sprouts and then broccoli.
Oh, you know? No carbs. Okay.
And no carbs. And so here's the thing about meal prepping salmon. Okay.
Stinks.
Monday is great. Thursday is an adventure. I remember I would, especially at TMZ, they would know. Because look, when I was at TMZ, these were the foods that I would bring and put them in the microwave. They would be like, Van, it's broccoli and salmon. I'd be like, yeah. But to me, that was my way of getting back at them for having me working from 6 to goddamn 5:30 every single day. I'm going to eat the things I like to eat. I'm going to bring
it to you. Were you not affected by the smell? Because Brussels sprouts smell too.
Nope. It smelled like delectable delights as far as I'm concerned.
You don't sound like a great coworker.
No,
I mean, this works because it's virtually, but mm-hmm. I don't know. You're concerning me.
I was one of the best coworkers ever. They loved me. They loved me at TMZ. Now, this is like, you know, obviously there were some hiccups there towards the end.
Obviously.
But no, Liz, I was everybody's big brother. They're at TMZ over at the old TMZ.
I will tell you, I'm under Warner right now. Mm-hmm. And I hear anybody, when they hear I work with you, they have amazing things to say about you.
You ain't talking to nobody that know me.
Yes.
At Warner.
Old boy hopped on a call that day.
Oh, that's my man.
Yeah.
That's my man. That's my guy. That's my guy. Were you keeping up with the news over this weekend where you were doing nothing and meal prepping and stuff like that? Tuned into it every single time, or did you give yourself a break?
I gave myself a break, but did you have a good weekend? I feel like this can't be one sided. Oh, Let me ask you about your weekend. Yeah,
sure.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. What was the weekend? Oh, yeah. You know, I watched sports. That's something that happened. The good old New Orleans Saints got it done yesterday.
It was a boring game, but I'm glad for you guys.
Not a great game. Not a fun game to watch. It was a game that I was watching while also playing the Oculus VR situation. Rachel, here's the thing. I've drifted into a whole nother world with the Oculus.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
The Oculus Quest is a VR helmet thing. It's like a VR visor. You put it on. You got two controllers, right? I don't need this existence anymore.
How are you watching the game and doing that?
So this is the thing. The Oculus has this thing where you set a boundary of play, okay? So the Oculus doesn't want you to bump into other things and hurt yourself.
Okay.
Right? So you set a play boundary. And the Oculus, you literally take the controller and you go around mm-hmm. in a circle and you make a play boundary, right? You like spray it on your ground.
Yeah.
Like, but digitally, right? And then,
yeah.
So you have to stay inside of that play boundary while you're playing the Oculus.
Okay.
If you walk outside of the play boundary, the Oculus, even though there is no, the visor is closed off on the other side. Have you seen a VR visor before?
Yeah.
You can see.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's doing a radar digital readout or something like that. You can see. So every now and again, I would just stick my head out of the play boundary and look at the game and look at the score of the game. So I'd be in there playing.
Are you like in a world, like you're exploring? Or are you
you're
playing
in a world?
Are you playing with other people?
You're playing with other people. Sometimes you're playing with other people in another world.
What are you playing? Are you like, is it like capturing something? Are you fighting?
They got different games.
Okay.
They got a game called Sports Scramble. where you play a different, you play different sports, you know? They got bowling and they got tennis and they got baseball.
It's like a Wii.
Kinda, but this is different though. Sports Scramble is crazy because like you'll be playing tennis with someone and all of a sudden you don't have a tennis racket. You're playing tennis with like a golf club.
It's
fun. What do you mean you don't like it? It's a fun, wacky adventure.
Okay, like, it changes up on you. I mean, the Oculus. What is it called?
The Oculus. Oculus Quest.
Oculus was a game, but it's a whole thing. I got you.
No,
okay.
The Oculus Quest is the name. What are we doing here?
I don't know. So you weren't with us this weekend. That's what you're telling me.
Well, I'm telling you, and the dismissive tone is concerning.
Dismissive?
Well, what I'm telling you is that I spent a weekend in another world with the Oculus Quest. Not only that, though, I was also in Star Wars, Vader Immortal, on Star Wars, Darth Vader and me fighting together. In an adventure.
In the Oculus.
In the world of virtual reality.
Okay.
Beat Saber, where I got two lightsabers and the song notes are coming at me in the world.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And you're hitting the song notes. Beat Saber. I was fishing on the Oculus. I got all kinds of crazy stuff on the Oculus. Like, I could put my computer screen on the Oculus. So I can view my computer, I can stream my computer from the computer to the Oculus and then use my keyboard as the computer is in the Oculus.
When you're standing in the digital space that you created with this helmet on, do you feel weird making those movements knowing that on the outside you look crazy, even though on the inside you know what you're doing? Like, I can only imagine what it would be like for Kalika to walk in and see you doing these type of movements with the helmet on.
Not so much for her. Bozeman, though, doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Bozeman, like, you can hear, like, Bozeman hates it. Like, I'll be doing something and you can just hear him growling. Like, Bozeman judges me. Like, Bozeman's like, yo, that go to lame. He up there, what is he doing? He look crazy. And then I have to remind him half the time, he's jumping around here playing with nobody. He eats everything. He eats everything. Bozeman eats a leaf. Bozeman eats your AirPods. Bozeman, like, I have to kill. Bozeman was like set tripping on Oscar over here. Like basically getting in Oscar's face. Like, he tried to kill Oscar.
Oscar's the plant for you guys.
The plant
that sits behind Van. Are you going to train him?
I'm doing my best. We're doing our best to train Bozeman.
I know a good trainer if you're interested.
What kind of trainer, though? Because I don't want to, like, you know.
What do you mean, what kind of trainer?
I don't want to send my dog to something and it's like doggy boot camp.
You know, it's not like that. This is a guy I worked with who's like the dog whisperer in Dallas. He recommended me a place in Miami and he's done that for me in LA too, for Copper. It's different.
Wait, Copper still needs training?
No. They also have daycare and boarding.
I see. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line I want to walk with him where I want him to be, because I think about animals and animals have it rough. You know,
in what way? Because Copper lives like a king. So I would like for you to explain to me how.
Yeah, but think about what Copper gives up to live like a king now.
What does he give up?
His balls.
Are you going to fix Bozeman?
You have to, right?
Like, no, you don't have to.
I thought it was better for their health if you did it or something like that. Isn't it?
I don't know about that. Now, if you want to board some of these parks out here, They want your dog to be fixed.
Don't they live longer or something like, or aren't they less aggressive or something like that if you get it done?
Copper developed a mean bark after his were taken away. Don't know about that.
You know what that bark probably was? That bark is probably saying, hey, man, you know what you just did?
Don't speak for Copper.
I'm not speaking for Copper. I understand that you domesticate an animal. There's certain ways that things are. And, you know, I don't want to. But I just think about the animals. The animals in their inside going all the way back, they were, and their ancestors were wolves and stuff, right? So there's a part of them that just wants to go out there and be expressive and express themselves and be out there. But because we want to play with them, we put all of these constructs on them and all of this stuff like that, you know, and I feel sad for the animals. So I don't want to take too much away from Bose. Bose is, you know, he's young and he's happy dog.
I'm going to say something and I don't want you to get offended. Wow. Bose may feel that way because he's never lived out in these streets. But we found copper in the streets. So we literally, not a rescue place, in these streets. So whatever life he was living before, this is 10 times better. So copper's experienced it. He's lived that life. Now he's about this one. Bo's never had that.
So yeah, copper's like, you know, yo, man. Like, I'm sure I should let copper talk to Bozeman. Like, in dog language. You'd be like, yo, I know you think you want to go out there and be crazy, but let me tell you, man.
Yeah.
These people feed you. They give you toys. You know, they always playing with you, rubbing your belly. I just like to let you know it's another side.
That's right.
OG Copper. OG Copper. OG Copper. Oh, you know what else I did?
What?
I spent yesterday researching Los Angeles street gangs.
Because,
man, like, gang culture in L.A. is way more complicated than I thought it was.
Because there are a lot of them, or just, like, the intricacies of each one, like, because they're kind of like their own government.
So I'm having a conversation with one of my homies, right? And I know a lot of different gang members.
And he's one?
He's in the gang. Okay. So I'm having a conversation. He's a dismissive, judgmental.
I'm trying to understand the context of the story. Stop. Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a conversation with one of my homies, and he's a gang member. And he's telling me about how somebody in the same gang as him, they are beefing. The gangs are beefing with each other, right?
Okay.
And I knew that happened to a degree, but I didn't know that the sets of the gangs beefed with each other to that degree. I'm not going to call out which gangs he in and say none of that, but I'm going to say, and so then I start looking, and the gangs have a big gang, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they have it based upon the neighborhood, and then sometimes based upon a little part of the little area of the neighborhood. There's all of these mini little sets of the gang, and I didn't realize there were that many. You know, the homies that I know and the people that I know, they represent specific parts of L.A., mm-hmm. but I didn't realize it was that many places going on, like from street to street, neighborhood to neighborhood. It's a lot. So I went down a whole rabbit hole yesterday of learning about the different gangs. You know what I'm saying?
You feel like you figured it out?
No, but I got a lot of work to do. Do you think that as Higher Learning, as a podcast, that we should get put on with a gang? Like we should choose one and just choose up?
Should we get in one? Or should we just start one? Or should we just start one? Why we got to be a part of it? Let's just start it.
I don't want to start one. Because our gang not going to be lit if we start one.
Speak for yourself.
If we were to start a gang, you feel like our gang could be lit?
Well, why not? Why can't it be?
Because, man.
And then all that talk you just gave, you just discouraged me from, I wouldn't even know where to start to find the right one. They're all different. It's complicated. You got a top three?
You out here in LA now, but you need protection, right? You need to know some of the homies so you can move around the city like you want.
That's actually not a bad idea.
I'm being for real.
Especially because Brian ain't here either. Listen, you got a top three? Let's talk. Let's talk offline.
We'll talk. Well, I'll introduce you, but the Thought Warrior gang, that's different. Like, our gang not going to be very hard.
It's mental. We're fighting with something different.
It's mental. You know, I've gotten DMs from some of these people, and they go to the lake a lot. Like, if you look at their Instagrams.
I do too.
They go to the lake a lot. If you look at their Instagrams, they're out on the lake with Connor, their son. I took Connor to the lake for his first time, and this is a sailboat, and we played bird watching. Look, this is Connor looking at a red hawk, a South American red hawk. Yeah, so they're not gonna really bang like that. All right, but look, if you weren't paying attention to the news, there's just things are happening so fast, Rach.
Yeah,
things are happening so fast. We're gonna take a break and get into it real quick. Yeah, so right now, this is as contentious a time on Capitol Hill as I can remember. Obviously, you know, the left and the right, they argue over policy. They argue over motions and bills and things of that nature. But right now, it seems as if the left and the right are in an argument over what they think is the future and the soul of America.
Yeah.
And it's being led on the left. By the House Democrats, who are pushing right now to impeach President Trump. Nancy Pelosi has said that an impeachment vote will happen on Wednesday. Now, there was something that came out, I read it, that she had given Vice President Pence, I think, 24 hours
to
invoke the 25th Amendment, which we talked about a little bit about the 25th Amendment. The cabinet would have to vote to remove the president, that the president was unfit. They would kick it back to Congress, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole process. And if, you know, that doesn't happen, then I guess they're going forward with impeachment. Then they're going to, they think that they have enough votes. They're going to look to impeach and remove the president. Jim Clyburn, I saw him on CNN, Jim Clyburn from over there in South Carolina. And he says that he would rather wait after Biden's first 100 days to send the articles of impeachment over on President Trump. This would be after President Trump was out of office. So there seems to be some discussion or some back and forth about how it is they want to do this, but it's clear that they're coming for Trump's scalp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but here's the problem. As I'm reading it all and I'm seeing the House being proactive and Nancy Pelosi taking the charge and saying, hey, we're going to, you know, impeach Trump, we're going to vote to impeach Trump. But then it's got to go to the Senate.
Right.
And we're going to be right back where we were literally this time last year. It was last year, right?
It's been such a long time.
I'm like, or was it 2019?
Just before this time, because we're in January now. So it was just before this time or around this time last year.
I wasn't sure if it was 2020 or 2019. I'm losing track of time here. But the point is that we saw this same path last time. It passed in the House because the Democrats have majority in the House. But in the Senate, they don't need majority. They need a two-thirds vote to impeach him. That means that you've got what, like 67 senators? Mm-hmm. So even if it is split, even if you do have the vote of Warnock and Ossoff, you still have to have 17 more senators that are going to vote to impeach Trump. And right now, everything I'm reading is saying that the senators are not going to vote for that because the Republican senators are saying that we just need to heal and move on. And they're even using this phrase of, well, it would take away from what Biden is trying to do to reunite the country. Have you seen the letter that some GOP congressman sent to Joe Biden about moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
You would think, we talked about this at great length last podcast, about what happened on Wednesday and how we saw the acts of those people, the insurrection that was there, the storming into the Capitol, the going after, and now with more details coming out more than ever, we hear that they were really trying to capture these congressmen. Even after all that, you still have congressmen that are sending letters to Joe Biden saying, in lieu of what's happening, the country needs to be united, and we need you to move forward as president without trying to impeach President Trump. It's outrageous. If failing to take an action at this point is not an option, you should be outraged as everybody else at what we witnessed on Wednesday. And the fact that they aren't trying to use their power to shut down President Trump after what we saw and him leading the charge to incite that type of behavior is beyond me. You would think that would have been the turning point. You would think that they would be as outraged as we are. And clearly they're not. And now they're saying that they're not even going to vote to impeach him. Enough senators won't vote to impeach him. They're talking about one or two.
Yeah, I think they view themselves to be in a politically precarious situation. So what they've done is they've spent the last X amount of years going along with everything that President Trump wanted. And transforming from being Republicans to being whatever grotesque mutant version of their party has become since President Trump, you know, took control of it. And the constituencies that they represent have gone right along with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of those people believe that you can put that toothpaste back in the tube. And because they're really tiptoeing around the consequences for the insurrection last Wednesday. Here's the thing. Consequence is an essential part of society. As long as consequences are fair and valid, nobody should really have a problem with it. All too often, we see in situations of inequality that consequences look like one thing for one group of people, mm-hmm. and they look like something else for another group of people. Now, that is unacceptable. However, doing something wrong and having to sit your ass down, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I guess my question is, how are we to show people how terrible what happened last Wednesday was nobody gets sat on their ass for it? Now, we should say that it's not as if nobody's getting sat on their ass for it. Many of the people that were out there protesting, many of the people that were out there storming the Capitol, many of the insurrectionists have been arrested. I think everyone who I named on the podcast before has been arrested. And a lot of those people are probably going to get destroyed by the legal system, right? They'll probably be scapegoated. When really, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, the people that stormed the Capitol are the least guilty. In a lot of ways, I don't feel sorry for them in any way, but it is interesting that they're going to be the ones that are going to take the fall for this. And it's not fair in a way.
Not at all.
And look, everybody has to take responsibility for what it is that they did. And I'm not saying they didn't know better, but what I am saying that they were told different. They were told that America hung in the balance, that democracy was being threatened, and that the only way to stop this was to show up en masse in Washington and then go take it back with force. Rudy Giuliani said, trial by combat. And they were told this by people who they thought had their best interests at heart. It's a very American thing that those people are going to probably end up skating for this. Maybe. We'll see what the Democrats do. And the people, the ordinary Americans who got whipped up into the frenzy, they're going to pay the price. Mm-hmm. That is how the country works. Mm-hmm. And I'm not shedding any tears for anyone, not even one single solitary one, because I think a lot of those people probably in their heart of hearts, not even in their heart of hearts, knew that it was a lie. But it's not like they hadn't been told it. So the only way to really get the stink of this off of the country is to do something that we've never done before,
absolutely,
which is hold powerful people accountable, hold the people accountable that were actually the genesis and the impetus of this.
Yeah. I mean, because look at it. It's not working. Even as we're sitting here podcasting, breaking news on CNN is the fact that there are more plans for this to happen, not just at the Capitol in D.C., at capitals across the nation. It hasn't stopped. And the reason it hasn't stopped is because one of the last tweets from the president is calling these people patriots, praising them for what they do. So if a few people go down for what they did, they're regarded as heroes in that circle and that group of people. So you've got to take down the head. You've got to take down the person who's encouraging and inciting this type of behavior. And that's what it's crazy to me with these GOP congressmen who are asking Joe Biden to have Nancy Pelosi discontinue her impeachment efforts. I mean, even in that statement that they send, they say citizens are hurting because of the pandemic and because of economic fallout. Well, whose fault is that? Who has been behind the president in everything that he has done over these last 4 years? It's the people who signed that letter. And now you're expecting the Democrats to be the bigger person rather than to hold Trump accountable, which is the biggest problem. You cannot. That is what Trump has done over these last 4 years, really his entire life. He has not been held accountable for his actions. And if they don't proceed in a way that they never have before and use the power that they have been given by the people of this country, then Trump is going to do it again. He will find another way to rile people up to do something like this again or worse.
We got to reexamine this whole bigger person thing. We just
what do. You mean?
It's weird to me that the bigger person is always telling you to be the bigger person.
I got you. Yes.
You know, the richer person, the more powerful person, the person with more resources, that person is always telling you to be the bigger person. Now, we have a bunch of people out here, right, who represent the most vulnerable Americans, right? Black women, Latinx people, LGBTQ. They're told to be the bigger people. They're told, like, there's a virtue disease that they get handed and then it spreads and this is not. So you never actually have to suffer consequences for the terrible shit that you do because somebody always has to be bigger than you, the bigger person, right? Mm-hmm. The bigger person, the stronger person, the person with the more resources, the person with the more systemic ability, all of that stuff. So somebody has to kind of grow past what it is that you do, despite who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that these people, and the mind that we're not bigger emotionally or intellectually, whatever, but we come from America. We come from an America that frankly isn't bigger. We come from an America that's smaller by population, that's smaller by influence, that's smaller by political power, that's smaller from a health standpoint, from a mental health standpoint. And we're always being gaslit and told, hey, rise above, be the bigger. How about you be big for one time?
Agree.
And really, in this situation, I'm not even talking to the right. I'm talking to the left. The Democrats need to be bigger right now. This is a time for them to be bigger. This is a time for them to set an American standard. It's a very clear standard that what happened last week isn't acceptable and that there will be consequences for it.
Moving I think they on, are like doing it, that.
Well, here's it. Well, that's what I'm saying. I got to see it. If there is a vote in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats, or forget about the Democrats, the Americans who want there to be consequences for President Trump for last week, don't vote for this. It's very simple. We'll know the votes. We'll know the names. Make them decide. That's it. Then that's what they're going to do. Just make them decide. If you vote no to impeach and remove the president, that's fine. We know which America you're here for. Just make them decide. Yeah. Don't lose the intensity, like Michael Irvin said. This is a very funny thing. Remember back in the day? So back in the day, Michael Irvin had been like arrested for something or something like that. And it turned out it wasn't true. And they interviewed him. He was in the Cowboys locker room. He was like, reported with the same intensity. Don't lose the intensity. And I always think about that. I'm telling you right now. Don't lose the intensity, Democrats. Don't lose the intensity. Now, a couple other things have happened. It's pretty interesting. President Trump has been permanently banned from Twitter. He apparently went ballistic when he found this out. Most of the internet has banned President Trump. We do have to clear something up. On the previous podcast, I said that if the president is impeached and removed, then that would mean that he could not run for office again. That's actually not true. There'd have to be a separate vote on that.
Right.
Also, we're going to have somebody here on the podcast to break down to you guys exactly what the Democratic majority in the Senate really means, because there are still things that they would have to vote on in the Senate that a 50-50 vote with the tiebreaker won't get done. So we'll talk about exactly what Biden and Harris's powers are going to be. So you're looking at this. President Trump has been washed away from the internet. Not only him, but Parler, which is, I guess, a conservative app that's just sort of like a conservative Twitter. They have lost all types of things with Google or whatever that allowed them to exist. They had to kind of shut down. And there's been some talk about whether or not this is going too far and sort of trending in the realm of censorship. Angela Merkel, who is the chancellor of Germany, she said that it's problematic that Trump was banned from Twitter. What do you think? You think that there's in any way anything wrong with the president being banned from Twitter?
I don't. And I don't understand people who are like, this is freedom of speech. Trump has been saying outrageous things for years, and he's never been banned. It's not about freedom of speech. It's what happened. It's the glorification of violence policy that Twitter has. And Trump has doubled down and continued to do that. Even after what we saw with the insurrection, he came out and called these people patriots. He's encouraging them to continue this. It's gone beyond just speech. Yeah. It has incited violence. And if you can't separate that, then you're not getting the point and you're not trying to, because to me, it's very black and white.
Well, speaking of that, Carrie Hilson, you guys know Carrie Hilson. Carrie Hilson, you're making sounds.
She's just, as a late, has a history of just kind of saying some things that make you go, hmm.
Interesting. What else has Carrie said that has made you go, hmm?
Remember she talked about like 5G with the phone and, yeah, and coronavirus, and mm-hmm, people were like, Carrie.
Right. So Carrie Hilson, very talented lady. She took to social media. She took to social media and she said this. She put a picture of Donald Trump's account suspended thing. She said, this may be funny, but it is a little dangerous too. Take Trump out of it for a moment. A democracy must include freedom of speech. Imagine other leaders or popular figures not being able to voice their opinions if it opposes the majority of world leaders. Our freedom of speech being taken from us, slowly but surely, parentheses, censorship. If the leader of the free world, quote unquote, can be removed, there are periods all over this. Imagine that same right of civilians. Imagine believing every time you read false information detected and propaganda, deceptive reports, and flat out lies being the only thing that we see. So that's what Carrie said. That's, so I guess what her purpose is, what her point is that if this can happen to the president, free speech can be taken from anyone. Do you think Carrie has a point?
No, for what I just said, this isn't simply him speaking out. We've watched him do that as long as he's had a Twitter account. It's what happened. It's what he is pushing forward. You saw it happen Wednesday. And if you can't separate the two, then I don't know what to tell you, Carrie. I just don't. This isn't your friends being, you know, she mentioned something about friends also being.
Yeah, she talked about it. She said, she said, for the record, she cleared it up after she got destroyed. She said, for the record, I don't give a fuck about Trump. My thoughts weren't as much about him. So I said, take Trump out of it. So don't come at me like I'm caping for Trump. I recognize why he was removed. It's the wider view that's scary to me. Here's my context. It brought on a broader fear because I have several influential friends who are constantly censored, silent, shadow banned, or removed for anything that they post that opposes the government, elite agenda, or cooperative platforms, even personal opinions. And they're not inciting violence. That's where I'm coming from.
I need examples of that. Maybe that's true. I'm not aware of that. But if it's not, if you don't care about Trump and it's not about Trump, then you shouldn't have said anything because you're speaking on the hills of what happened to Trump. The only comparison that you have that we have as a public is Trump. So when you speak out, you do sound like you are against what Twitter did to Trump. And it sounds like you're not getting and understanding why Twitter banned him and these other social media platforms have as well.
Mm. Okay.
So I
ask Carrie.
You should have Carrie come on.
Carrie's on set. So I asked Carrie. I said, yo, we're going to be talking about the Trump banning shit on my podcast today. Is there anything that you, in your opinion, that's being taken out of context that you'd like to clear up? She said, and she sent this to me. She said she fears communism, authoritarianism, capitalism, and other lesser forms of propaganda and control, etc. It wasn't about Trump for me. As I wrote, I understood inciting violence or causing harm in extreme cases. The other side of the coin is that I have friends who constantly fight these same platforms, being removed just for offering another point of view or trying to put the truth out. Shadow banned, silence. This is what we as civilians must be nervous about. Media, whether social or mainstream or independent, alternative points of view, even proven facts, are often not tolerated against the powers that be. That's dangerous to society. I was trying to shed light on this. I was, however, enraged at Farrakhan's removal, not Trump. I fear we are at a certain level of entrapment as a country, although it's pretty hard to see within all the distractions. I was wrapping another film and didn't have the chance to experience the occurrences emotionally, also regarding multi-platform tracking, etc. Afraid of losing our freedoms in a web / culmination of ways. She said she was going to DM something for me to watch. Okay. Carrie's a good person.
Not saying she's not.
But the reality is that that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. Okay, so let's go back to something.
Okay.
Okay. So there are truths and lies. And the truth here, and I'm sorry for everybody out here, the truth is that there was no widespread voter fraud. The person that got the more votes in the election of 2020 won.
Right.
Okay. So that's the truth. Now, there's no other way to look at it. It doesn't matter if you think on the other side of it. It's been looked at. It's been vetted. All the courts all over the place. And the truth is that Joe Biden won the election.
Right.
The propaganda is actually that the election was stolen. There are things that we can look at to where there are two sides, right? Then there are things to where there's a right side and a wrong side. Mm-hmm. And because everybody has access to different ways to get their opinions out there, it's made everyone think that their opinions are valid, or that their opinions are educated, or that their opinions hold any weight. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you say who's to decide whose opinion holds weight, it's a tricky question. But in this particular situation, Trump said something. He was asked to prove it, and he can't. Everything else he's doing, or everything else him and his entire people are doing, it's obstructionist. It's to stop America from moving forward past something that America already decided. So having friends who post things that might actually be the real truth, that fact has, that's neither here nor there. In this particular situation, Donald Trump does not have the right. Every single one of these applications has terms of service. He does not have the right to incite violence. He does not have the right to spread mistruths. He does not have the right to do any of that. By the way, also, people need to understand the First Amendment. Donald Trump can get a milk crate, put it on a street corner, go preach from it all he wants, and say whatever he wants to say without fear from the government coming to put him in jail, as long as he's not, his speech is not, inciting violence. That's not what this was. This was, number one, speech that incited violence, in my opinion. And number two, lies. You guys, here's the thing. You don't have freedom of speech on Twitter. Twitter tells you that. Twitter tells you that if you say something on Twitter that they deem to be hate speech, to be violence, to be any of those things, they can take you off Twitter. Don't be mad just because people don't want to hear your crazy ass bullshit. That goes to Donald Trump or anybody else that's on that. Like, are there things when people get in, are there subjects that are too hot to handle and people don't want to talk about them, be they political, religious? Are there instances where people don't want you to know the real truth of something? Of course there are. This is not one of them.
Right.
So the reality is that it made no sense, in my opinion, for her to jump in this situation, because there are other situations where that is true. There are other situations where people are trying to stop the truth from coming out, but this ain't one. And to conflate the two things means that, in a way, you're condoning a situation to where anyone is allowed to say anything.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely.
And the reality is that that's just not how things work.
Yeah.
And in any situation, right? Like, in America, you're free to go break the law. You're not free from the consequences of breaking the law. If I decide right now that I'm going to walk in Ralph's with no clothes on, I can do that. But I can't then turn around to freedom of expression when they put me in jail for public indecency, because
Absolutely.
There are rules on that. And if you want to debate the rules, then let's debate the rules. But you don't have a right to Twitter. You don't have a right to Instagram. You don't have a right to Facebook. You don't have a right to none of it. You can go on Instagram right now and have one of your twerking videos taken down. You know why? Because they can tell you that the video doesn't meet the community's guidelines. What people really are afraid of are being held to a standard for their thoughts, beliefs, and practices. Because we're living in a community, in a society now, where very often there is no standard. But there's no standard for any. You're getting educated by memes. And because you're getting educated by memes, you very think you true. Know something. And, you know, the reality is that for anybody out there, and look, I'm not here to tell people what it is that they should or should not believe. I'm not. But bullshit is bullshit. And in this case, all of this stuff with the president, all of this stuff with the election being stolen, it's just not true. Or let me put it better to you, let me put it better like this. They haven't been able to present any evidence that it is true.
And they've had the opportunity to.
All over
so
the country.
So many times. And the people that are hearing the evidence are the very federal judges that he appointed to the bench. Supreme Court justices that he appointed to the bench. And all the only thing I want to add to that is that this is why Kerry's whole thing doesn't make sense. Trump wasn't removed because he believes that the election
was
stolen.
They let him fly with that.
That's it. It's the gratification of violence. That is why he's removed. That's why I say, if you want to come out and speak out about freedom of speech, separate yourself from the Trump issue. Because you speaking out now aligns you with that. And that's why people are coming at you the way that you are. And even her explanation doesn't help it out. It doesn't help.
No, I think her explanation gives us a better idea of what it is that she's afraid of. And a lot
I knew
of times,
what she was afraid of when she said it.
I know
what she was afraid
look,
of.
I get that. She doesn't want to live. Most people don't. In a society where they're not allowed to tell the government that you're full of shit.
But you got to be able to separate the two. Right.
And I get that. I want to be able to tell the government. That's what we just did on this podcast. We just told some parts of the government that they're full of shit. The government is full of shit. The United States, I'll say it right now. The United States government is full of shit. Like, all the politicians that are telling us right now that what they're doing is for the working man, for the middle class, for the working man and woman, for the middle class, all of that. That's all bullshit. It's not for any of that. Even if they want it to be, it's not. Because we're to a point where corporations are so entangled with what it is that we do, where the money's gotten so crazy that everybody gets paid before the money gets to the people who need it.
That's true.
And so because of that, there's an overhauling of the American way of life in the American governmental systems that it would really take a lot of people who actually believed in change on both sides of this to sit down and actually have that. So I'll say that right now, it is functioning as full of shit. So I don't have any problem with that. Nobody's going to take this podcast down because I said that. Nobody's going to take this podcast down because I say right now that the government in the past has purposely put crack cocaine into black and brown neighborhoods. That's a fact. Nobody's going to take this podcast down right now because I say for a fact that the U.S. government formed a clandestine intelligence program to destabilize black power movements in the 60s and 70s, to assassinate some of those leaders. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to take this down because of that, right? And we could go on mm-hmm. and on and on and on and on and on and on. There are plenty of podcasts that delve into those things. But if I right now say that the government has done all of these things so that we should go burn down a Capitol building, or we should go, now it's different.
Yeah. You're right.
So there it is. Now it's different.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, that's on you. But now you're putting people's lives in harm's way. People died last Wednesday. And there's a cost. And somebody has to be held accountable.
And you're the president with power, with influence. It's totally different. People follow. They listen. They take what you say as truth because of the position of power that you have. You are the leader of our country. You can't be reckless like that. That's another reason he's got to go.
Right. And these lies weren't, they weren't submitted in a day. Rome wasn't built in a day. And neither were Donald Trump's lies. Donald Trump's lies are something that's been going on for a very long time. He was able to build a certain following. It's a structure almost that he was able to build. And it got to a point to where those people decided that everything that he told them was true and decided to light the country on fire. Somebody's got to pay for it.
We love Rome on this podcast, don't we?
Rome.
You did a Rome example the other day, too.
I know. All right, let's take a break. Come right back. Did you see the documentary that Van Jones is doing with Meghan McCain? Did you see this?
I saw the trailer.
For the documentary.
I saw the trailer.
Okay, so just to let you guys know, of course, whenever Van Jones does anything good or bad, it is sent to me. And there was a poster that said the Reunited States of America. And it had a black hand or a white hand. And it's about a documentary. And it says from executive producers, Meghan McCain and Van Jones. All right? And I was like, oh, shit, here we go again, blah, 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 blah. But then I watched the trailer.
Okay.
When I watched the trailer, I don't have a problem with this movie.
Why would you have a problem with the movie?
I'm trying to figure out. I guess people were upset. They were mad. They were, you know, they were talking, you know, like, I don't have a problem with people exploring. The trailer, the movie seems to, I guess Van Jones and Meghan McCain are executive producers. And from my knowledge, they came on after this was already completed. I like to lend their voices to it. I guess the movie is about sort of the political divisions in America and a woman and a man who go around and try to explore whether or not those divisions have to exist and what we can do about it.
Yes, it is a Republican couple who goes to the 50 states with their kids to do that. Also involved is Susan Breaux, who's the daughter of Heather Heyer, who was killed in Charlottesville when the car drove through the crowd. And then they also have the founder of the Millennial Action Project, which is a bipartisan coalition of 1,500 young lawmakers. So there's different people that are, and an independent politician is a part of it as well. So there's different people, and they're trying to give solutions on how to bring America together and show us how to bridge the divide that is the country as it stands right now. I think people might be a little bit like, at first when they see it, because it's Van Jones and it's Meghan McCain, and Meghan McCain, people have very strong opinions about her if you watch The View or things that she says on Twitter. And a lot of people think Van Jones is great work, but some people think he's an opportunist. So I think it's when you put their names behind it that it causes people to raise an eyebrow. But when you actually look into the details of what this documentary is, it's all about showing that we are going to be the ones that have to bring things together. You can't depend on the government. You can't count on somebody else to do it. We each have to play our part, and we have a role to play in all of this. And I think that it's trying to give people a little bit of hope when people don't feel hopeful at all right now. Mm-hmm. And I can't knock what this documentary is. I think it's going to be a great thing. I'm going to watch it.
I'm not going to watch it.
Wow.
It's fine. I'm not going to watch
it. I'll watch it.
I'm sure you will. But you got that Hanukkah. You got that kumbaya spirit.
I actually don't. Have you met me? I actually really don't. People think I'm really negative. They think I'm negative and I'm judgmental. People say that all the time. They even tattle to you about it. I actually don't have that, but
you have it.
I feel like I want to be better to have that. Like, I want to be more hopeful and I want to be more positive. And so stepping into that, I want to watch this documentary and I want to believe that things can be better.
Right. See, I don't need the documentary. Because look, I get it. Look, things are divided and people are doing the work to try to bring. I can watch the trailer and be like, hey, I'm glad that they're doing that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't need the documentary. The documentary, I'm glad that it exists. And I think it's worth a conversation and worth a documentary.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to watch a documentary on Thor. Or you know what I mean? I'll probably
on the Oculus. Whatever
on the Oculus.
Called. Oculus.
If keep somebody calling. Makes an Oculus documentary, I'm in. This documentary, I'm not going to watch. Just because, but people need to watch it. But I feel like I got it. I know why they're divisions.
You might need a little kumbaya in you.
Oh, I know why the divisions exist.
No, I didn't say that. I do too.
Right.
But you're a little.
So what's the point of watching the documentary?
You're a little rough around the edge because it's about maybe having hope in humanity, right?
I have hope.
Do you?
Yo, if I didn't have hope, things would be completely different.
I'll tell you what I'm not interested in this movie. I'm not interested in the couple that's going state to state with their kids.
It's their movie. How can you not be interested in that and be interested in the movie?
I didn't realize it was their movie. I didn't realize it was theirs. I thought everybody was involved.
Oh, wait. So the movie doesn't come from their POV? I feel like the movie, they were like narrating the trailer.
Maybe it is. But when I looked at it, it was like, oh, this is who I, maybe it does. And maybe they stop by and see these people, these other people that are subject to the film that I mentioned. Well, then maybe I won't watch.
I don't know. I'm not
interested in the couple really going around talking to people about, you know, the struggles that they face. I'm over that. That was 2020 when people were waking up to their privilege and waking up to, you know, the things that Black people have gone through in this country for centuries and centuries. I don't want to hear that story. I was more interested in like Susan Breaux, whose daughter Heather Heyer was killed. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear more from what she went through and how she has taken, like, it sounds like she's very involved in what's happening right now in the country after what happened to her daughter. I want to get, that's what I'm interested in.
I get it. I understand that. I guess my thing with something like that is I kind of know the score there. I know that people are doing this work. I know that there are some people who, I guess, they act like they don't understand what it is that we're going through or that we're making it up or something.
I'm not
like
interested
that.
In that.
And, you know, you're going to hear people on the documentary talk about how hard it is and stuff like that. I get it. I understand. I don't really feel the need to watch it. As a matter of fact, most times when I'm watching documentaries, it's about things that can make me smarter, and this documentary just can't. It just can't. However, I think the Van Jones of this is interesting.
Why?
I think that if somebody else's name would have been on it, that I think Van Jones thinks that people think he is on one side when they don't. So the purpose of putting from executive producers Van Jones and Meghan McCain, the purpose of that is to show there's one person on the left and
Absolutely.
One person on the right. So I think the miscalculation there is there are a lot of people who don't think that Van Jones is on the left. There are names that you could have put up there that people would have been a little
really?
Bit more. Yeah, I think there are names that you could put up there that people would have been.
I'm saying people really don't think Van Jones is left. I understand that we have questioned some things that he has done, mm-hmm. but I've never not thought he was left.
I don't think that people think Van Jones is people on the left. Let me speak for the people that I've talked to. People on the left, specifically Black people, a lot of them don't think that Van Jones is one of them. Fair or unfair. Like this hashtag Van Jones is Republican. Van Jones hangs out with Kushner and Trump and like not Trump, but
these
are people who,
yeah.
Yeah, right. And if you ask him why he does that, he'll tell you, well, I'm trying to get this very important legislation passed, or I'm trying to actually make create results and things like that. He'll have a lot of reasons why, and that's okay. But I think that if you were going to package this movie as one of theirs, one of ours, we're talking about it, we're bridging the divide, their names that they could have hit, at least for some of the people that were outraged over it, that probably would have been better. Now, here's the thing. Van Jones is in all of America's homes. So there are a lot of America who looks at him as being exactly, I'm sure, the way he sees himself. So it depends. So the documentary, Twitter, we always give Twitter a lot of power. Twitter's a small place. There are people, I'm sure that Van Jones gets all the hate and all the stuff that AOC does. I'm sure he gets called, all of this stuff. But like the people that are looking at this, like Black Twitter, they're like, nah, we don't want to see that. We would like to see, shit, I don't know, throw a name out there. Like from Michelle Obama and Meghan McCain. They would have been okay, that makes sense. Or from Mark Lamont Hill and Meghan McCain. That makes sense. You know what I mean? And like that would have, to me, and not even for me, if I would have saw from, and I'm not saying that Mark would do this, but if I would have saw, hey, from Mark Lamont Hill and Meghan McCain, I'd have been like, ooh, they're together on something? What is that? But Van Jones, the contrast is not, it doesn't strike me
like that. Well, because he's more of a moderate. And even if y'all haven't seen the poster, it's like half blue, half red. So it's really like trying to show them coming together in that sense. I think you're absolutely right on that. I think that, you know, they want people to tune in to this and they want to attract maybe a certain audience that wouldn't be as accepting of this if it was a Mark Lamont Hill, and Van Jones is more accepted by more people because he's doesn't really ruffle any feathers, or you know what I mean?
He speaks his mind, but I think that people, I think that some of the things, and there have been stories that have come out. I think there's a group of people out there who, let's be honest with you, don't trust Van Jones.
Yeah.
They don't trust him. They don't trust Van Jones. He also fucked up big time, man. He fucked up big time when he confused Beyonce and Mary J. Blige.
See what I'm saying?
See shit like that. And
those people were like, we get it. That's an easy mistake. I could make that mistake too. We don't make that mistake, Van Jones.
We don't do that. That's the type of shit that made people look at you like, ooh.
And you know what it is too? Meghan McCain, if you were going to have Van, you need to have somebody who's more moderate on the right side. Meghan McCain is polarizing. Mm-hmm. And so to me, you needed somebody who could match that if you were going to show Come Together. Do you know what I mean?
It could have been? It could have been like from Whoopi Goldberg and Meghan McCain.
No, they're on the same show.
So what? Whoopi be getting in Meghan's ass.
Yeah, but sometimes you could look at that as that's just for TV. Joy is more in her ass than Whoopi is. Joy can't stand her.
you say Joy is more in her ass.
Okay, come on, let's go.
I'm just asking. You said it.
Joy is more on her than gives her a harder time than Whoopi does.
That's not what you said. You made a very clear statement. You're changing it up.
Come on,
you
L.
said George is on, more. Joy is more in her ass. Whoopi is. That's what you
said. Piggybacking on what you said about Whoopi.
I know, but I didn't compare the amount that they were in each other's ass. That was you. And you got to be like, you got to take responsibility for what comes out of your mouth, Rachel.
I said it.
Oh, there you go.
Can we move on?
Okay, let me ask you a question. How far would you say Joy is in? Oh my God, let's take a break real quick. All right, Michael B. Jordan just made the most important move in his career.
Is that what we're calling it? I need you to explain why you use that adjective.
It's the most important move in Michael B. Jordan's career.
Why, man?
I don't know if you guys know, Michael B. Jordan just went Instagram official with the most impressive woman in Los Angeles, who is Lori Harvey.
Why is she impressive?
Because Lori Harvey has completely demolished the idea. Lori Harvey is a weapon against misogyny. She's a weapon against male chauvinists. Lori Harvey is a cultural weapon of mass destruction. She takes all of these guys who talk all of this big shit about what they do, and she just uses them. Not even uses them. The Mike thing, I think, is different. But Lori Harvey.
Who else showed, did she use other than Future?
Look, I mean, but what I'm saying is, she just plays with these dudes. She plays with them.
Okay.
She plays with these guys in a way, like Lori Harvey, she's the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, guys, like, she's fucking them. They're not fucking her. She's fucking them. Lori Harvey wins. And by the way, I don't know if she's had sex with all these people. I don't know. Maybe they go back and forth, whatever. I don't know what's going on. What I'm saying is, I look at Lori Harvey and I think to myself, God damn it. That's how it's supposed to be. She's young. She's beautiful. She's out here and these guys are catching feelings behind her. She's just having a good time.
Who else are you naming? You keep saying these guys. Do you know more people? Because public-wise, she had like the soccer player who mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with in Future. Mm-hmm. Right. And then Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. That's just three people. Are there more people on the list? Puff. But we don't really know. We just saw a picture. That didn't seem like it was long-lived.
And then Puff's son. Let me tell you something.
And do we know if if she's the one controlling this, or do we?
I don't know. Rumors. Shout out to Puff, my man.
Okay.
Here's the thing: if there was a dude, right, that was in Hollywood, and he had been with both the mother and the daughter, right? Think of a fine mother-daughter combo. If it was a dude that had been with both the mother and the daughter, people would be going nuts like he was the greatest thing of all time. But for some reason, they want to hate on Lori Harvey. Lori Harvey's out here doing her thing. And now she looks like she's in a situation where her and Mike seem like they really loving up on each other.
So, and I agree with you. I actually have a huge problem with the way that people are coming at Lori. Because if you could do it, you would too. I feel like I'm like Lori could write a book on however it is she's doing, whichever way you see it. I feel like she's winning. She clearly doesn't discriminate between having an athlete, a rapper, and now an actor. She seems to be, you know what I mean? She's spreading her wings here. And I hate that people, that there's this double standard. It's so unfair. And I hate the fact that she's a public figure. So she's going to date like people who are situated in the same circumstance that she is, right? So just the fact that she's a public figure, and so she might be dating other people that are in the public, we shouldn't hate that. She's dating. That's what we all do. Don't get mad because you're at home dating somebody that nobody knows or nobody cares to know. That's not fair that you get to judge Lori in that way. I hate the fact that people are judging that. I think they're a beautiful couple. I love the way that they announced it. It's been speculated for quite some time. And then I thought, are people giving other women who do this the same type of heat, like heat that they're giving Lori? Mm-hmm. Like, did people do this with Ciara?
What? Like, do what with Ciara?
Ciara dated Bow Wow, 50, Amari Stoudemire, and then Russell. Future, then Russell. Did people do this to Ciara? Like, I don't understand why people are being so hard on Lori.
I don't know that Ciara has the same clout in this situation that Lori Harvey
Sierra's done way more than Lori Harvey has done. Lori Harvey's...
Shout out to Ciara, but I don't think it's the same.
Can you explain to me why? Because
There's a couple reasons.
Please explain to me, because Lori Harvey's beautiful.
Okay, there's a couple reasons. Shout out to Lori Harvey. Shout out to Ciara. Shout out to all of them. There's a couple reasons. Number one, Lori Harvey has no children from all of this situation. Lori Harvey, any woman in the past 10 years that stood in the same room with Future has gotten pregnant, except for one, Lori Harvey. Lori Harvey was able to go have her fun and come away with nothing that connected her to Future for the rest of her life. That means she can play with Future when she wants to, or she cannot play with Future when she wants to.
I love that you're giving her this power. I love it. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Future is fertile.
Okay.
Okay. And the reality is that there have been many women who have fallen victim to the fertility of Future. I know women who claim to have gotten pregnant from Future by just listening to his music. Future is fertile, but you know who did not get pregnant from listening to Future or being around Future or actually touching Future? Lori Harvey, because she's impervious to the things
that would derail
her from living her best life. Anything that stops Lori Harvey from living her best life, she's impervious from it.
I don't know. I just don't like the way you're describing her. I think she's so, I don't know. I like my point of view better than I like yours. I feel like,
What's your problem with
her? No, I don't have a problem with her. Like, I think people need to stop hating on her. I think I that agree. What she's, I don't know. I don't know. It's the way you're describing her is rubbing me the wrong way.
I don't know.
Like,
you're not coming up with any answers.
Well, because I just feel like,
she's out here doing her thing, and I love
it. No, I do too. I hate the fact that people are hating on her. I think it's such a double standard, and they're discriminated against her. She's dating public figures. She's a public figure. What is so wrong with that? I don't get what people are so upset about.
I love Ciara, but Ciara got caught in the web. The baby
but she
web.
Dated multiple people, is what I'm saying, and she didn't get people the hate date, that Lori gets.
Well, I think it's a condensed moment in time. Like, this is over. When you're naming. I think that you're naming, and I think that's why people are doing, I think you're naming people that, you know, you're talking about Bow Wow. That was like fucking
Lady
and the
Tramp.
But Bow Wow
was hot then. They had a song together.
I know. But like, you're talking about a span of years. And Lori Harvey, we're talking about in the span of the last, I think the hate comes from, people judging her comes from, this is like the last 2 years.
People need to get off that. Would you say Future is good luck, Chuck?
Why? What do you mean? Oh, because
Ciara
people
got
get...
Russell. Ciara got Russell after him, and she's winning.
I don't know. I see.
And look at Michael B. Jordan. Maybe you either get a baby or you get a really good opportunity after Future.
Right. You're leaving out a lot of women in there. Right. they ain't got no Michael B. Jordan. Like
they got a baby. They got a baby.
They're living out a lot of women.
A baby and a check.
They ain't got no Michael B. Jordan. But let me tell you why this is important for Michael B. Jordan. Okay. So Michael B. Jordan is a fantastic guy. Amazing dude, all of that stuff like that, right? Great actor, all of that. There was this thing that I feel like a lot of sisters would talk about with Michael B. Jordan.
I'm saying there
are some things that a lot of sisters would talk about with Michael B. Jordan. Like Michael B. Jordan didn't really like black women. Like he didn't really like black women, right? And to me, seriously, that has held Michael B. Jordan back in a lot of the ways, like the cultural gravitas that he should have, right? Now, you get the thing that's actually bullshit. I know girls around town that had said maybe that they had met Mike or whatever, and I knew that wasn't a true thing, right? But now, you get to see that, you know, Mike has...
He doesn't discriminate.
It's a beautiful black woman.
Yes.
A beautiful black woman. They look good together, man.
They look beautiful together. I love it. I love the way they announced it. I'm rooting for them. I wish them all like the love and happiness.
Yeah.
They're very beautiful together.
Now Mike out of here, baby. It's a big deal.
You feel like he's come back?
I didn't think that he left. But remember, this is not my fight. Black women can think whatever they want to think. I don't think it was as big of a deal as
you're making it. But yes, there are certain people that in Hollywood that like black women will be like, oh, you know, just maybe black men do the same thing. Black women will be like, oh, we heard he's not down for us. But I heard that, but it never stopped me from liking Michael B. Jordan at all. It didn't take away from me.
Well, I mean, it would It's like for you, it's like, okay, like, what are you going to say? You're
I hate you some days. I really do. I really do.
You going to get down on Mike?
That's what I'll say instead of cursing at you. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, you can't get down on Mike when you out here living La Vida Loca. You know what I'm saying?
That's not what you're trying to insinuate.
Anyway, shout out to Mike and to Lori Harvey. Really good looking couple. It seems like they're very serious about this whole thing. And it's good news. It's good news. Start off
and y'all
get
off them. Get off them. Be happy for people.
Be happy for Lori. Be happy for Mike. Be happy for everyone.
Yeah. It's not like you had a chance at getting at him or her. So chill out.
You think people feel like they had a chance to get at Lori Harvey? Yeah.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, you're wasting all this energy hating on her dating decisions when you ain't got a chance.
Come on, you harsh? That's like you telling niggas you ain't got no chance on her.
I hate the double standard.
You ain't gonna get her. You never know. You might see Lori Harvey or some dude might see Lori Harvey when he working his shift at Erewhon and like spit game to her. She might like that. You don't know. Why do men do this? Why do men have to believe that they have a chance with women? They have no chance with. Why is that? Why am I doing this? No, you don't have a chance. You're not going
to
do it.
Exactly. You try to make it seem like what I'm saying is that far-fetched. Thank you. You're
1,000% right. I'm going to get off. I got to be real. No. She's not going from fucking Killmonger to you. Move on. All right. So The Bachelor comes on tonight. It is Monday. Is it tonight? Is it The Bachelor?
Sure is.
Matt James.
So it's the national championship game, which I'm faced with the dilemma of which one I'm going to watch every year.
What? I will definitely watch the national championship game.
I always choose the championship game. I'm usually there, actually.
I gotta be honest with you. Tomorrow, we're gonna talk a little bit about The Bachelor, maybe not too much, but we're gonna talk a little bit about it. And I'm gonna start rating the episodes based upon how much of a weenie that Matt James comes off as.
Okay.
So like
you mean Thursday, our next podcast.
Based upon how much of a weenie like, there's, he posted something. He posted a golf, like he was playing golf on the same day that the insurrection was happening. Oh, I'm looking for my golf ball as everything's getting up. That was a 5 out of 5 on the weenie meter. That was a weenie, the weenest thing to do. I'm hearing, I got my feelings out about Matt James, old MJ, that there's possibly some weenie activity that could come down the pike with this guy, that there may be some more Oscar Mayer.
They stay in your DMs, don't they?
Yeah,
they stay in your DMs.
There's a lot.
Can I just tell you this?
Oscar Mayer.
I talked to Matt James on that Wednesday after the post had been up. He was flying from New York to L.A., so was not fully aware of everything was going on. I believe the post happened. He got on a flight. So that's the only inside information I'll get, because it was one of the first things he said to me that he was concerned about, because like people came at him, obviously, and he didn't realize everything was going on. It's a 5-hour flight, you know. So anyways, I'm just going to, I'm telling you right now,
I know
what it's like. I know what it's like to be in Matt James's position. Mm-hmm. So I am going to defend him unless it's just something insane. I'm going to have his back. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I got you. Okay,
I will not be participating in this ranking that Van wants to do.
The weenie ranking. Okay, that's fine. Look, here's the deal. I'm a weenie.
Okay.
I can be a weenie. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying, just don't go out like a weenus, Matt James. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of, it's weird. So I'll give you a weenie ranking for the first show. You want it?
Okay.
Out of 5. 5 is, I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener. Okay.
What number are you giving him for the first one? For
2.
The first episode?
A 2.
Okay, so he wasn't that bad.
Nope, not at all.
Okay, good.
Low on the weenie totem pole. But I can already tell for the future in these trailers.
You don't know that.
That we're going to have some weenie roasts in the future, baby.
You don't know that.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
You don't know that. Well, I guess y'all will have to stay tuned for whatever number Van's going to give.
Thursday is the weenie ranking for Matt James. All right. Take your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
All right, we got to
bye.
We
say bye? I feel like we should say bye.
Oh, yeah. Leave that, Jackson. Oh, my bad. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I love you guys. High learning is off.
Ha 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 ha.